At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Got great ideas, but no idea how to build a website? Get Bluehost. Their AI design tool creates high-quality WordPress sites super fast. Whether you're a blogger, influencer, or launching a side hustle, Bluehost helps boost your growth with built-in marketing and e-commerce tools. Upgrade to cloud to get 100% uptime and 24/7 security to stay online all the time. Why wait? You've got the vision. Make it real. Visit Bluehost.com to get started.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's time for your TNA Impact post show for November 14th, 2024. I am Adriel Pearl, and of course, with me always, the number one Cresta Star is here. Hello, Cresta Jericho Star, with your hair done up in that top knot thing. Are you going to start talking about the Y2 star problem?
I do look like a young Y2 star problem. I mean, honestly, I was thinking I look more like Jack Sparrow, but I look like a jumping Jack Jericho. I'll take it.
All right. It's always fun. Listen, we're going to be here to talk about TNA Impact for tonight. I don't know how long we're going to be here because I don't know how much I care about Nick Nemeth as world champion anymore. But we'll get to all that and we'll get to the whole show. And of course, the big news coming out of today, as it is Thursday, is that Speedball Mike Bailey has wrapped up his time with TNA, became a free agent on November the 1st, and as FightfulSelect.com did report earlier this evening, he is AEW bound. So we'll be talking a little bit about Speedball Mike Bailey and maybe even reflect a little bit on at least the last couple of weeks with the Moose title change and the Vikingo match and what did or didn't happen, and you know, get some thoughts about Speedball's career trajectory. You and I have absolutely had this conversation before about what we expected him to do, but we'll talk about it real soon. But let's talk about the show. Let's get into Impact. Overall, what do you think of this show?
I thought this show was fine. I don't want to say middle of the road, but it was a very standard episode. Not mad at it. My cat also has some feelings about this show as well. It was a fine show. I will say the main thing that piqued my interest is what are we doing with the Nemeth brothers, one Joel Hendry, and I guess JBL, since they kept bringing him up tonight.
He'll be at WrestleCade, and so will the cast of TNA Wrestling.
We'll dig in.
We got plenty to dig into. If you haven't already, leave a thumbs up on the video, and of course, you can subscribe to us here, youtube.com/Fightful, or if you're listening to us in the audio realm, you can leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, and then leave a comment. Just be all like, hey, I like these TNA guys and girls, let's get them around more, and that'll make Sean happy. But also what makes Sean happy and us happy is when you donate a super chat, any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, or you can donate a humper chat over at humperchats.com. Chris, to tell them how, why, and where.
You're going to take your fingers or your thumbs of power. Since someone asked for 1,004 holds, you're going to type 1,004 numbers or letters or words into humperchats.com, and we'll read all 1,000. Don't actually do that. I don't know how many words are a sentence, but you can put 1,000 words in there. I don't know. Humperchats.com, whatever dollar amount, we get to keep a little bit more. It keeps us happy. It keeps Sean happy. It keeps the Decepticons happy. Humperchats.com. Me and my mustache would like it.
Bing.
Bing bong.
Oh, God. Shall we keep moving into it? Impact opens up with Santana defeating Casey Navarro. This was the match of the night for me. I really, really enjoyed this. First time these two have had a match, but they've been in each other's orbit for years. Santana's an OG. Don't get me wrong. Like, Casey is a young kid, but these two had a lot of chemistry. There's some really funny moments in the match. Navarro tries to go for a roll up, and you just hear Santana say, ha ha. He just beats the shit out of Casey Navarro. Santana does the alley-oop suplex into the sit-out powerbomb. That was a boss move, and then hits spin the block for the win. Navarro, like I said, he's a kid, but man, did he look great in this match. What do you think of Santana and Navarro?
it's funny you say that they do run in the same circles. As someone who frequents House of Glory all the time, these two are always like almost on the same card all the time. So it is funny that this is like the first time of them meeting, like especially in the TNA ring. This match, a good old David and Goliath, because boy, did KC try. He tried. And it wasn't bad. But I felt tonight Santana just had a little extra stank on it. That spin the block looked like it spun off KC's head. This match was so good. Those chops on KC in every corner. Bless. KC had a bright future, but Santana really is, he slapped the nipples off that man, like as I like to say. Poor KC in this match.
And of course, AJ Francis is just there at ringside being like, I shouldn't have done
instigator that. Instigator of the year. If there's a slammy for instigator of the year, AJ Francis. Because somehow you're always stirring the screws a little bit more than the system. And that says something.
It does. The man is incredibly impressive. Looking forward to, I mean, at this point, it feels like they're going to run Santana and AJ Francis at one point.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, that's a good match. That's a good opportunity for Santana to slay a giant, a larger man like AJ Francis. And AJ would sell like hell for a guy like Santana.
You got to give it up to AJ's facial expressions when he sells. He really looks like, I can't believe you would hit me with such fervor, sir.
And then when Santana wins the TNA World Championship at Genesis, AJ Francis will be the first guy to be like, I made you. Give me a title shot. I made you.
Just like I made Joe Hendry. I made you.
It'll be perfect. Oh, man. Speaking of Joe Hendry, but inadvertently, it's the Nemeths. And then they have a backstager with Gia Miller. And this was the typical, you know, setting up the two matches that the brothers have against their respective opponents. But once again, Nick Nemeth uses the, I asked for tonight's match to be a world title match, but Santino said no. And this is the second time that Nemeth has used this. And no one's asked Santino if this is true. And I'm really waiting for someone to finally ask, hey, what about all those times Santino said no about making this a title match? And he'll be like, I never said that. And that'll start the turn, because Nemeth is doing some seedy shit. Like, this is the one thing about the Nemeth turn. It's just like, I'm kind of ready for them to get to it. And it's just because Nick Nemeth as a babyface right now isn't really doing it for me. But that's where I'm at. What do you think of what we're talking about here?
I'll be honest with you. Nick Nemeth has what I like to call, and I've made this up too, I call it the Charlotte Flair problem. It's not that you're a bad wrestler, and it's not that you're overbooked, though some people may say. Your charisma just oozes bad guy, oozes heel. Then anytime you do some face stuff, I'm like, I don't believe you. MJF has this problem. Nick Nemeth has this problem. Moose has this problem. Deonna Purrazzo low-key has this problem. A lot of people have this problem. Like, yo, Macklin, to a lesser extent, has the same problem too. Like, I believe you when you say you're a good guy, but I don't really believe you, pal. So I think that's the problem with Nick Nemeth's babyface title run. I don't believe it. Like, when JBL showed up, like, oh yeah, you did that. Oh yeah, this, you have no chance to defend yourself, because even in the court of public opinion, I feel a lot of people feel like this is just not believable, my friend. I want to, no. If you pulled out the gun and said it was me, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I don't think it's his fault. I just think that his charisma is such as that of a heel that no matter how much you give us, like, I didn't do it, but like, you're a liar.
Yes, I do think that the Nemeth swerve happened at Bound for Glory and that JBL punched Ryan on purpose to make it more believable. Yes, I do. Because that is something that weird sickos do.
Yeah, it's make it believable.
Yeah, it's trying to make it believable, because JBL would be the type of person to be like, no, to make him believe it, I got to punch you in the face. And then for Ryan Nemeth, who's an idiot, to be like, all right, punch me in the face. Anything for my world champion brother. I love him so much. He's Nick Nemeth's brother. The end. He's really playing into it. Yes, I think it was all part of the ruse, and they'll play it out. This is something that is coming from a mile away. Nick Nemeth makes a better heel than he does a babyface. Everything you said, I agree with it. MJF does it. you know, like when MJF does a babyface thing, you're like, do the other
psych
thing. Go back.
Kevin Charlotte, Owens, like, Randy Orton, psych.
Yeah. You're just waiting for it. You're just like, oh, this is a, Kevin Owens is better at doing, like, you make it believe it, but Randy Orton, you're just like, I like you better when you're a real dick.
I mean, it's true. No, there are some people that it's just something about them, like their presentation, the way they move their moveset. Like this Nick Nemeth, I keep wanting to say Ryan Nemeth because I'm like, Nick Nemeth is what he wasn't, whatever. Nick Nemeth is so, in the best possible complimentary, he's so cheesy. He's so like, I could get, if everything about him screams heel. Like if you told me you were the savior of the city, I don't believe you.
But you also have to present the beginning of Nick Nemeth as a babyface, because this was his first time out of WWE. This was his first time working another promotion. And he is a genuinely likable human being as like Nick. But when his wrestling style and his wrestling character evolves, you're just like, you're the show off.
Yeah.
And that's going to get people's, that's going to raise people's ire. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, no, 1000%. Like literally when he wrestles, you are literally the show. There's ain't no Cody Rhodes about this guy.
that's the funny thing is like, yes, but also Nemeth is excellent when it comes to like doing media and being present and towing that part. So like, again, the character versus the guy, like Nemeth gives his time for media, like TNA, they love him. Like he's really well liked in the locker room. He's really well respected amongst his peers. And then you watch him on TV and you're just like, God, you're such a piece of shit.
That's got to be the craziest thing I think about being a wrestler. You could be like the biggest jerk in the ring, and in real life, you're out here kissing babies, signing t-shirts, sewing shoes.
It's always how it goes. It's always, you're just like the biggest piece of garbage ones. Are the people who are just like, oh, they're just the nicest people backstage. Like you would never guess. It's just the way it goes.
It is what it is. Nick Nemeth, yeah. You keep doing the damn thing, babe.
We'll talk about the Nemeths a little bit later. Gia Miller's backstage with the Hardys and Ace Austin. They showed the footage from last week where Speedball gets beat down by Trent Seven, who turns on Speedball. And Trent Seven comes into this segment and he confronts the Hardys and Ace Austin. And then Jake Something and Alexander Hammerstone get involved, and Santino backs everybody off. This is an interesting match that they're going to do next week. Hardys and Ace versus Something, Hammerstone, and Trent Seven. I thought maybe they would blow off Seven and Speedball, but obviously that's not the plan unless, and again, it could still happen. You do Speedball and Trent Seven at WrestleCade as just a one-off Speedball's last match and let Trent Seven get the win. But you've already had him drop the X Division Championship. So do you need to do it?
I kind of took it. I remember us talking about how you thought Jordan would go out the way of Trinity. So I took Speedball with the announcement today in the same way. You already got the Yambag shuffle and Trent just, he grinded his gears up in there. So I feel like maybe that was the last time we would see him. It would make sense like, oh, now you're just being a jerk. You know, Trent Seven's going around being just a jerk, for the lack of a better word. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them do one more blow off match, but I don't know how that stuff works now that he's been, the rumor mill is rumoring or he's assigned or whatever the case may be. I would like to see it. I don't know how long he can, you know, but I would be okay if that was his send off. It's kind of crappy to get a nut shot be your send off, but the match with Moose was good.
Oh, that's the thing. It was, you were tying up a few loose ends. And again, they were kind of at the mercy of the stuff that happened at the tapings in Detroit that messed up any of their original plans, like the Vikingo stuff. So may as well dig into it now. Again, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. We reported that Speedball Mike Bailey, not only was his contract up November 1st, but also that he is now AEW bound. That is some really interesting stuff. Again, not surprising to me, and I know you and I, Cresta, have talked about it on this show, and I've talked about it on The Weeds with Jeremy Lambert, that when given the options between WWE and AEW, it felt like Speedball was much more of an AEW fit. First kind of clue towards that was that you never saw Speedball show up on the NXT crossover. He wasn't part of it. Therefore, I figured there wasn't much, you know, interest there, maybe mutually or exclusively from one side. And then you also think about what Speedball does outside of TNA. And he is a busy boy. And by all accounts, he likes being a busy boy. And he, every time I've spoken to him on and off camera, has always given me a new, fresher perspective on professional wrestling. Creatively, he has a different view than most people, and he wants to be able to flex that creative view. So for him to go to AEW, it makes perfect sense, because you're not working house shows. You're not working a different style from the one you've already known. And it fits for him, and I see him as a great fit. And it also is that point in his career and in his life that he should be getting a big level national televised TV contract. And so here we are. Your thoughts on the departure of Speedball and where he's going next?
At the beginning of this show, I was very sad when SP3 and Kate were like, you guys lost Speedball. But then I remember I also cover the Collision, so I will still be seeing Speedball. So, back at you. It does not, to me, it does not make sense for Speedball to go to WWE. I think about solely just Speedball's wrestling style. That's not going to happen in the Fed. And I watch WWE, and I love WWE too. But that who are you going to wrestle like that?
So hold on. I want to push back on that, because I've seen a lot of people talk about this. It was the same, like, oh, he's super stiff. He's not going to be able to do that. And everyone said the same thing about Julia when she came into NXT. They said, oh, she stiffs people, and oh, she hits people hard. Oh, she's not going to work with anyone properly. Look at her now. No one's complaining about how Julia works. No one's saying that she's, you know, too stiff or that she's not doing this right. Like, I don't think the Speedball works a different way than everyone else. I don't think that's a thing, because he knows how to work a televised style of wrestling in any way, shape, and form.
I wasn't going to say too stiff. I'm more like... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off.
Well, no, even if you change the style, like, the style is style. As long as you can still, you know, base for moves and catch people, then you're okay.
I'm just thinking, like, if anything, I would want to see a Speedball versus Sami Zayn, maybe a Speedball versus Seth. And I think about all the craziness and how innovative, to me, Speedball is. Some of the things, like, just Ultima Weapon off of steel cage would be gnarly, but I think the best presentation for him, forget dance partners, just the best presentation is going to use him to the best of his abilities, whether maximize his minutes with eyes, would be AEW. So I agree with the move. I think that I think he's going to be great no matter where he goes. I'm going to be really real with you. And I'm trying to be like, yeah, because I get to watch him on the game. But even if he went to WWE, he's one of those wrestlers that if you don't do anything with him, people are going to be like, yo, you fumbled so-and-so. He's fantastic. Any company would be lucky to have him, straight up. I'm just being spoiled because I'm happy that I get to see him no matter where he goes. Sorry.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, if he gets used on AEW, perfect. If he doesn't, then he's just going to go work the indies the way he has been the entire time. It's a win-win for him, and he doesn't have to change his Twitch schedule. He doesn't have to give up any of his IP. He already owns Speedball. It's again, the dude continues to work, and he'll be okay.
I'm not mad, because I low-key like Speedball versus Orange Cassidy would be kind of for me. I don't care if that's for no one else, but for me, that'd be top tier LOLs sports entertainment of the finest caliber. Caveat.
I feel like we've done that match before, but maybe we haven't.
I ain't never seen. Maybe. I also don't watch wrestling, so I don't.
That's fair. The Rascals defeat Allen Angels and Jake Crist. Yeah, it's fine. Welcome back, Allen Angels. Old dick kicking Allen is back. Jake Crist, it's good to see him. Like him a lot. We've interviewed him over on In the Weeds. He's involved with Wrestling Revolver, which is Sammy Callahan's boutique, and he's always around. Spine Buster on Angels, super kick, Meteora, get the pin, get the win. Rascals are on top again. What'd you think of the match?
I have like three notes that say this is a really good match, and Jake Crist is getting worked. I'm sorry, y'all. I mean, this match was fine. It was a standard match. I really don't have any special spark notes. I apologize for nothing.
Nothing to apologize for. Just moving on. Spitfire have a promo. They make Barbie Girl reference. That's great. Talking about the Elegance Girls, Ash and Heather. Yeah, again, just looking forward to Spitfire dropping those tag titles at Turning Point to Ash by Elegance and Heather Reckless.
I don't want to hear that from you. I know it's going to happen, but it doesn't mean that I want to hear it. Thank you, Joel Pearl.
Just the way it is, man. I can't help it. Just the way it is. Northern Armory defeat Macklin Gresham and Eric Young. This was a fantastic six-man match. This was the standout performance Jonathan Gresham has needed, and he hasn't been able to have. Again, I say it every time he's on my screen, you got rid of the gimmick that was standing him out, but he then goes out and has a banger match, and I can't really complain about that. EY does the Youngblood neckbreaker, which always pops me. He did that way back in the day. It was good to see that. But this match, ultimately, it was Gresham as the standout, Macklin's story having blind rage towards Josh Alexander, EY trying to be the voice of reason. At the end, Macklin accidentally takes out EY. Alexander hits Macklin with the C4 spike and gets another pin on Steve Macklin, and the Northern Armory are victorious. What do you think of the match?
I thought the match really picked up in the second half, but I really think it was about the ending third, if you will, with Eric and like, yo, chill out. I understand you want to beat him up, but don't get DQ'd. And Northern Armory really impressed me this match too. If we're going to give shout outs to Gresham, I got to give shout out. I want to say his name. The gentleman with no shoes is Williams.
Travis Williams.
That's right. Okay. I had it right. Tonight he was wrestling. That man was wrestling tonight. to me, the chemistry he had with Macklin and with Gresham just flying around that ring. I think there was at one point where Gresham and Icarus, they were slapping the hell out of each other in a sequence just in the middle of the ring. Slaps. These guys were so good tonight.
Sorry, I was going to say Judas Icarus is the shoeless one.
Okay, so I was right. Okay, yeah. So it was Icarus.
Bald is Williams. Baldy is Williams. Shoeless is Icarus. Now you know, fans, if you're looking to tell the difference between both members of Sinner and Saint, bald and shoeless.
Please. I had to unlearn FTR bald and FTR hair, please.
No, you don't have to unlearn. No, you don't have to unlearn that. You chose to unlearn that.
Bald Icarus, and shoeless. No shoes. Icarus shoeless, Travis bald. Stop. All right, it's too late. Anyway, what I was
bald
saying.
Bald Travis and shoeless Icky.
Bald Travis and shoeless Icky, part of the Northern Army.
And you spell armory with a U because they're Canadian.
We're going to get a cease and desist.
You might.
I'm American. I don't know any better. That's my answer. I mean, this match was fantastic. I do like this character development for Steve Macklin. If everyone's like, because there is a backstage promo afterward, Gresham is like, listen, I don't care what y'all got going on. That has nothing to do with me. I just care about Sinner Saint and Josh Alexander. And Josh Alexander, I cannot stress enough, this man getting booed. I never thought I'd live to see the day where Josh Alexander's consistently getting booed in a TNA ring. This is fantastic work by him.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a good match. It's fun stuff. And then in the back, Macklin tells Santino to do something about Josh Alexander, or he will. And then Macklin confronts Eric Young, and Gresham gets in the middle of them and says, I'm not getting in the middle of you two and your feud, but I'm going to be in on this as long as you have my back against Northern Armory. And he walks off. And that's all he needs to be, is just there as like the third guy dealing with this group. And then Macklin is obviously obsessed with Josh Alexander until he wins. And EY is going to be the voice of reason. So again, there's a good working relationship forming here. And it was a great match. Shall we continue?
Sometimes I mute, especially tonight. My cat is letting me have the voice of her people. And I don't be getting back that fast. So yes, let's go.
All right. Frankie Kazarian's backstage. That random ass match that they showed from June last week, they're going to make that into a match. So Rhino and Frankie next week. And then Rhino comes in and says he'll beat Kaz's effing ass. And my favorite is Frankie being like, hey, swearing. You're not supposed to swear. And Rhino is Rhino. He's great. Frankie and Rhino next week. So there you go.
Frankie Kazarian. This is great.
I have more notes about that promo than I do about Joe Hendry defeating Ryan Nemeth. They do the director's cuts. He's Nick Nemeth's brother. The end. Standing ovation, gets the pin. Ryan Nemeth looks like a bitch. Your thoughts?
Ryan Nemeth tried. Ryan Nemeth cried. Ryan Nemeth died. The end. I mean, yes. Joe Hendry, I am a stan. I'm a fan. This is a Joe Hendry apologist, but you are not the good guy. That was so mean. That was so mean. Ryan Nemeth, I feel, tried. And if this was anybody else but Joe Hendry, he might have gotten cheered. But this is Joe Hendry. So he got booed. So, you know, shout out to Ryan Nemeth, but Joe Hendry, you did no wrong, even though you did wrong, but you did no wrong, so.
Oh, it was what it was. Rosemary defeats Jada Stone. It's a one-sided squash. Rosemary screaming about not needing anybody. Rosemary gets the win. We're all just waiting for Jessica Havoc to come back.
I was going to say, where is Havoc?
Currently in Mexico.
I love you, come back, please. I love you, come back, please.
You know who her tag team partner is in Mexico?
Who?
It's Crazy Steve.
Hey, I was gonna say Crazy Steve, but wait, what is Crazy Steve doing? Wait, what is Crazy Steve doing?
Yeah, the AAA intergender tag champions over there.
I live for that. That's fantastic.
Gotta love it. Yeah, Havoc, we'll be back. And then you'll take those tag titles from Reckless Elegance.
That's gonna be a bloodbath.
That'll be Genesis. Just you wait. Just you wait. Deep in the heart of Texas. The system have rings now. Good for them.
I didn't understand what the point of that was. But I will say, it leading into Lisha say, you want to know something? For 3 minutes in my house, me and my little brother were just yelling at each other. Do you want to know something? An icon, a legend.
I see that that's such like a Boston, New York obnoxious thing to yell at each other.
For no reason. At first, I was like, Lish, this is the worst. And now after it's been wormed into my brain, this is fantastic. I literally call my little brother and he answers the phone. I go, do you want to know something?
You're going to hop on the two and just be like, you want to know something?
It's great. I don't care. It's great. It's fair. I love a good heel. And to me, this is up there with Vicky Guerrero going, excuse me. This is fantastic.
Yeah, we like Alicia Edwards a lot more here. Anyway, the system says the system talks talk, walks the walk. And then she says she carried Masha Slamovich in her tag team. And that last week, her win was a fluke. Masha comes out, challenges Alicia next week to a match for the Knockouts title. It's no DQ. Tasha Steele stares down Masha. And then Jordynne Grace comes out, reminds everyone that she does, in fact, have a contractually obligated rematch. And that the winner of next week's match gets Jordynne at Turning Point, where she will become the four-time Knockouts champion. Those are her words. Once again, it really does feel like they are doing the Trinity exit from TNA for Jordynne Grace. And that's okay. I'm sure that it's going to be an excellent... I love how Jordynne's just like, I'm pretty sure I know who's going to win that match next week. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Jordynne. Like, give them something.
The bullying of Alicia Edwards.
Like, good Lord, that's so mean. Oh, but it'll be Masha and Jordynne, I guess, a Turning Point. No shock there. It's not a spoiler because Jordan's already told you.
But that's I mean, to be fair, when Lish said I carried Masha on my back, I was like, oh, so we're in Delulu land. So maybe, you know, Jordynne wants to be Delulu too. You know, Lish could cheat. Lish could cheat.
I mean, it's no DQ. You can get at it.
That's true. That's true.
So we'll see. Regardless, they do Masha versus Jordynne at Turning Point. Some sort of tag match at the final resolution pay-per-view. That's a thing. And then I don't know what Jordynne does at Genesis. She is planned to be there. I guess you give her that last singles match to put somebody over on her way out. If, again, some people have said, you know, Kylan King comes back and it's a specialty match. If it's somebody that is going to elevate the division and be that next person for Jordynne, then I'm fine with that. I love it. But I don't want to see Jordynne wins the title back at Turning Point, and then we had to do all this shit again at Genesis. Because Masha is the one to run with right now.
I agree with Masha. And if we go with your, I'm going to go with your soothsaying because you've been really good at this. If we go with the Trinity finish and somebody takes Jordynne out, do you think it's Savannah Evans? Because now she's back and she's a big beefy girl. And that is someone you put a big beefy girl having a big beefy girl go over on her.
So there is also, you mentioned, yeah, there's Savannah Evans. There's also Laying Lee. And I was saying that that's the Genesis match there, is Laying Lee versus Masha Slamovich for the Knockouts title. And then what does Jordynne do? Maybe Jordynne does Savannah Evans. I was under the impression that Savannah Evans and Masha would be the Turning Point match. But if you want to stretch it out for a little bit longer, you can have a tag match of some sorts at the final resolution show. There's no TV, there's no more TV tapings left. They're basically going, they just taped 4 weeks of TV. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm just looking at the calendar now. This is where things are going to get weird because Final Resolution is on the 13th of December. They just did week one. Next week is week two. And then Thursday the 28th is week three, but it's also Thanksgiving. So I don't know if they're going to do anything. Then they've got the show on the 20th. And then they've got 2 weeks and then Final Resolution. So they have more. I don't know. I don't know how they're getting there content wise. Because they have 4 weeks in the can and they just burned 1 week. And they've got 5 weeks, 6 weeks between now and Final Resolution.
Don't we do some sort of top 10 TNA show?
That's usually towards the bottom of the month. And they're taped, but that's the thing. They are taping at the night after Final Resolution. Thanksgiving is probably going to be some sort of special, so you and I will have the night off. And then,
and I was also going to say, what about that IWCP, if I'm not mistaken.
They got rid of that. That was a Scott thing, so they're getting rid of that.
Well.
They should be getting rid of that. They should have got rid of that years ago. It was garbage.
And yeah, I was thinking that you were over being here a fanatic for it. Joel puts over everyone. Joel's a professional.
I hated that. The interprovincial wrestling thing, I hated that. It was a big waste of time for me. Whenever I had to, we never covered it. We always said, like, there's no story to it other than, like, from year to year. We would skip it. I'd be
you
like,
you are not excited for Tim Burr.
No, they have fun with those stories. That's fine. But like, for me covering this program, I was like, I don't give a shit.
True. For the sake of this argument, though, I was like, maybe there's a show there in between somehow. But you're right. Scott's gone. So that's gone.
Yeah. And also, like, they're not filming anywhere else between now and Final Resolution other than the WrestleCade live show. Maybe they'll have a couple matches before, but I don't know what that's going to look like. They'll have a couple of weeks between there and who knows.
Maybe they put on one more charity event for Chris Bay. I don't know.
I doubt that. They've been keeping that as like a, it's happening, but the actual charitable stuff is online, not on their show.
Fair. Fair. I don't know then. I don't know. I'm all out of ideas. I gave you everything I've got.
They probably are going to do some sort of like best ofs or some sort of like look back at this and look back at that. It'll be what it is. When they did Final Resolution again, remember last year? Good Lord, they were running. They were out of ideas because they had 2 months of death. Like they were dark for 2 months. They didn't run any shows. They just ran specials. And then they ran, you know, the get ready for TNA. And we were sitting there being like, we're ready for it.
I mean, we can always have a live dramatic reenactment of a script featuring Crescent Star and Joel Pearl.
Nope, I will take that week off. Anyway, let's keep moving. The main event is Nick Nemeth versus Brian Myers. Nick Nemeth gets the win. Someone took out Ryan backstage. Oh, dear. And then Kazarian talks trash to Nick Nemeth on his way out. Joe Hendry joins them for commentary. Big ol' overbooked mess. Eddie Edwards gets booted from ringside. Lish comes out, uses the kendo stick later on. Joe Hendry carries her out. Nick Nemeth gets the super kick and the knickknack with his crack out for the win. Nick Nemeth wins the match. Yay.
Knickknack with your crack.
You got his crack out. His butt's just hanging all out there, man.
I mean, I am writing, so half the time this is me looking up with one eye, and I had the Prince thing going on today, so I'm like holding my ponytail, so I didn't see a crack, but crack is bad. Crack is whack. Crack is cheap. Yeah, this match, I'll be real with you. This match to me was about the ending angle. And that's how I feel. And that's how, I don't care. I don't watch wrestling. In fact, all I do is knit in my home. I do like the fact that when Edwards got kicked out, the crowd started singing, na, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. And it took Alicia Edwards hitting Nick Nemeth with the kendo stick for someone to do something about her, AKA Joe Hendry, to pick her up, literally pick her up and put her down in the back. Not mad at this. Also, I want to give a special shout out to Frankie Kazarian. This heel, calling someone else's brother a jobber on TV is disrespectful. And I hope Dick Nemeth and Ryan Nemeth jump you because that was rude.
But then Frankie Kazarian just goes to Anthem authorities and gets his way because...
Crucially, not Santino.
He goes over Santino's head. Everyone's stupid. That's really what it comes down to.
Everyone is just a bit silly today, isn't it?
Post-match, Eddie Edwards attacks Nick Nemeth. Hendry comes back with a kendo stick, takes out everyone, almost hits Nick Nemeth. Nemeth then like late teases a super kick, and then they do a standoff. The crowd's like, hug it out. And then they just finish the show.
Which is crazy, because they really just be like, you know what? Heck of these guys.
Yeah.
They almost got me, though.
Yeah, did they?
With the ending, if we're going into the ending after they put the whole credit scene up there and then it cuts to Macklin, I was like, wait, you almost got me. I was turning this off. That was good stuff, pal. Have they done that before?
Just the Ali stuff.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Where's Ali? No, Ali's done, isn't he?
Yeah, Ali's been done. I mean, he could come back. He hasn't signed anywhere. Did I completely miss those, my notes on there?
For the Macklin thing?
Yeah.
No, you're fine. Because it literally, after the end, they said, hug it out. They literally hit us with the WWE, here's the logo, we're done. Yep. And then it shows, I was getting ready to literally turn it off. And then it shows Macklin getting in the car. I was like, hold on, unmute it. Macklin gets in the car and drives off into the sunset and says, to be continued. It gave low-key, where are you going, Mickey? I'm going home. Okay? I'm going home.
He ain't going nowhere.
But he drove off into the night and played Eric Young's music. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry, I'm not crazy. I'm just like, I saw it, but I didn't see this. Anyway, we did get a super chat earlier from Dex Baker saying, okay, I've been checked out since Nemeth won the title. I was just watching for y'all and honestly haven't watched in a month. This man still ain't turned heel, but Trent Seven did, and Moose is the X Division champion. So let's tackle this piece by piece. Moose is the X Division champion. Yes. Speedball was on his way out. The stuff with Vikingo is weird now because there was the whole like wrong package, the wrong image that was shown at Bound for Glory. And now this is just adding fuel to the fire. Was Vikingo supposed to win the X Division championship? But then that went down the shitter. Like, or was it always planned that Moose was going to win and they just kind of had to call it a little quicker than planned? Whatever. Moose is the X Division champion. He has said in interviews that he's not going to cash in option C. I think that's bullshit.
I agree. I think he's lying.
He's going to cash in option C on Santana and he's going to win the championship. And that's going to be that.
Just like with Matt. Wait, he didn't cash in option C. Did he with Flash Alexander?
Oh yeah, you bet. You bet. Oh, I called that one. But I don't think he's going to do it the same night. I think he's going to do it relatively quickly, but I think he's going to cash it in. And then, yeah, Nick Nemeth hasn't turned heel yet, but Trent Seven did. The Trent Seven heel turn was very quick, but also very pointed. It was like Speedball was just kind of full of himself, and Trent Seven was a big loser. So he's like, forget this. I'm going to take him out. That was it. The Nemeth thing is just because, again, I keep pointing this out. The connection to JBL, where JBL has been a heel everywhere else he's been, you can't have JBL be a babyface in one territory and then be a heel literally everywhere else. So Nemeth has to fall in line with him. And that's what we're all waiting for. And it should happen as early as Turning Point. If you don't think JBL is going to be at WrestleCon, then I got a giant boat to sell you.
That's fair. No, I don't. I'm sorry. JBL is another person too. Like if you told me JBL is a face, last time JBL was a face for Ruka's Wrestling, they was yelling out, damn. And even then he was an anti-hero. Come on, knock it off. Knock it off. Knock it off. Knock it off.
Moose cashed in the Call Your Shot gauntlet, not the option C. My mistake.
My bad.
It's still the same BS though.
Yeah. And Moose is too big for the X Division. I'm sorry. It's not about limits. It's about no limits.
And use that on me. Someone tried that on in the weeds. I was like, well, here's the thing. But again, I've mentioned this on other shows. If Moose is going to be the guy that heads up the main two attractions in TNA, the Knockouts and the X Division are like the two things that people love more than anything else in TNA. Outperforms everything else. Moose has to hold up his end of the bargain. Not saying Moose can't, but he needs to continue to have very strong matches with different opponents. And you'll see next week there's some stuff in the pipeline that he could.
I mean, not for nothing, because this is Moose, I do think that the X Division does have, like Joel said, that reputation of being the best of the best of TNA along with the Knockouts Division. There is a realm where Moose could be like, I want it. I don't care. I'm Moose. You see, I can do those matches, but why would I do those matches? I'm Moose. I don't care. There's definitely a storyline there, but I think it is more advantageous for Moose being the face of the franchise for him to do really, really strong matches, or at least matches he deems tolerable. And if the pressure or the heat gets too much on him, he could always opt to say, like, I'm not wrestling that guy. I'm going to go after so-and-so. I'm not wrestling this person who broke someone else's arm because he stretches people like a pretzel. I'm not wrestling. Option C, I'm not wrestling that guy. You can have it.
Still don't know if we're going to do a post-show for Turning Point. They brought back the Turkey Bowl match. This is a hilarious field. Joe Hendry, Eric Young, Alexander Hammerstone, PCO, Brian Myers, and John Skyler. If ever I have been shouted from the rooftops that one person in particular is going to eat the pin and wear the stupid turkey costume, is John Skyler. But... TNA also might pull a fast one and make Brian Myers do it because it's a hilarious visual of the system and Brian Myers wearing a turkey suit.
I can see Brian Myers doing it too. Honestly, I knew this was going to happen the moment I unmuted. This name was going to slip out. I will put Matt Cardona in that match. I don't know why. I just feel like he...
But I don't think you're going to see Cardona again until Genesis, until the new year, or it's either at Genesis or when Steph DeLander's back and healthy. I think that's kind of the package deal. There's also a part of me that thinks maybe if he does do Genesis, he can get in, get out. And then, I don't know, I have this vision in my head of Chelsea Green winning the WWE Women's United States Championship.
Me too.
And Matt Cardona, who is a former U.S. champion himself, coming in and either holding the belt, the men's version of it, and having a feud with LA Knight, or doing him and Chelsea as like the co-champions.
I could see him trying to pin his wife. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that, Matt.
No, he wouldn't do the pinning. He wouldn't do that because he's already done this with when she won the women's tag titles. And he came out at an event wearing a replica women's tag title belt because he supports his wife. He's very much wife guy Matt Cardona. I would love to see him pull that with the U.S. championship. And I feel like that's a possibility.
That's fantastic. Honestly, that's fantastic. Him as a United States champion, her as a United States champion, him trying to be tag team, and they're like, isn't she Canadian? Don't say anything. Shut up.
Can't deport her. She's got her green card.
She is. She's Chelsea Green with the green. Come on now.
Anyway, that's TNA for November 15th. Like I said, don't know if we're going to do a Turning Point post show, but we are going to be here next week as we are. Cresta, start telling what you got going on.
This Saturday, it'll be me and the old boy, Rick. We're going to go over all things AEW Collision right here on Fightful. And every Thursday, you can catch me and the lovely guy, Joel Pearl. We're going to do everything TNA every Thursday. Thursday, I'm having a stroke. Every Thursday, and I will have my mustache here every day on Fightful for No Shave November. If not, you can follow me on Twitch and TikTok, Crest of Star. Every Wednesday, we watch AEW Dynamite, and sometimes I stream video games. Outside of that, I still got X going on for a little while. There is a link tree in my bio that's going to be Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. But follow me on Blue Sky, because that's really where it is. It's Blue Sky, Cresta Star. Look it up, because there's a whole bunch of cresta.bluesky.social. That's where I'm at. Come follow me on Blue Sky. You're awesome. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
We can do the AEW Collision post show right now. I have the results right here.
I would like to get paid for two shows, sir.
I'm not going to give the spoilers. Don't worry. I'm easy to find. I am Joel Pearl over on Blue Sky. I'm on Threads, but honestly, Threads just gets all my come watch in the weeds stuff. Speaking of in the weeds, go over to Fightful Overbooked and subscribe to the channel while you're at it. You can join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern for In the Weeds. Myself and Jeremy Lambert, we talk about wrestling and a whole lot of non-wrestling stuff because that's what we're here for. And then Cresta and I are here every Thursday, well, as long as we see fit, to talk about TNA Wrestling and TNA Impact. And that was the show. So how about this? We'll see you next one. For Cresta Star, I'm Joel Pearl. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we will see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.